All right, let's turn this morning to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, let's go down to verse 41. Luke 2, 41. Luke 2, 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had filled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind at Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. If you have a new version of the Bible, you're likely to have a Bible that reads in verse 43 that his father and his mother. Verse 44, but they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him, in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. All that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, we're back before you here this morning. We're glad to be able to come here around the Word of God and not just around something in the newspaper or some lofty ideals of some philosopher. We're able to come here before a God that wrote the eternal Word of God and have something definitive to say and a guide in our lives. We pray that you will bless what's said this morning, Father. We live in a treacherous, deceitful, and wicked world. We need help in every way and seeking thy face. And we pray that you'd help us in that respect today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, that's a pretty famous passage. This is a passage that provides just about all the information that we know of the Lord Jesus Christ between 2 to 3 years old and up to 30 years old when he was baptized and began his public ministry. So this pretty much is all we know. And it's odd, maybe not odd is the right word, but it's interesting. You would at least admit that it would be just this particular incident out of about 28 years that the Lord would record of the Lord Jesus Christ's childhood and life, really, before he was 30 years old. And this particular passage has been the subject of a lot of sermonizing and so on about losing Jesus and how you lose him and so on and so forth. And by lose him, I don't mean as a Christian losing your salvation, but losing fellowship and so on. Mom and Dad literally lost Jesus Christ for 3 days here. And in that respect, what caught my eye one of these last times through reading the Bible through here was the sequence of events of Joseph and Jesus' mother, Mary, seeking Jesus Christ and trying to find him. And you find that beginning in verse 44 down through verse 49. And I don't know about you, reading through this passage, I guess it had always troubled me a little bit. It was one of those little niggling things in the back of my mind. And I don't know how many niggling things you have in the back of your mind. But sometimes I read the Bible and it just seems like something's not quite right. Like, I haven't perceived it quite right. I'm thinking about it wrong. I don't know about you, but in verse 49, I always got down to this point, and I read, and he said to them, now his mother had just come to him, a tearful mom who obviously had been worried about her kid for 3 days, and just so happened that her child was the Lord Jesus Christ. But she said, son, why hast thou, verse 48, thus dealt with us? She says, behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. I mean, you ladies, you place yourself in a mom's position where you've lost your child, even if he is 12 years old. You've lost your child for 3 days. You've been 3 days and three nights without sleep, right? And so she says, why have you dealt thus with us? Your father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And his answer, and this always, like I said, I can't say it always puzzled me, But it was always one of those things in the back of my mind where I'd read through it and I'd go, man, that just doesn't seem right. He said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Now, I don't know how you've read that before. I'll admit to you that how I read it for years was a reply, you know, why have you sought me? And I got news for you. That's how the New Bibles read. Just so you know, the New Bibles read, why have you sought me? But that's not what the Bible says. It says, how, verse 49, how is it that you sought me? I mean, you think about that. Here's a kid. This kid happens to be the Lord Jesus Christ, the Ancient of Days. And he says, how is it that you sought me? If he had said, why have you sought me? I'm really sorry, people, but that's a duh. Why have you sought me? You lost me 3 days. Why have you sought me? Well, duh. I got news for you. The Lord Jesus Christ does not ask questions to which the answer is duh. He has yet to ask a question to which the answer is duh. He did not ask, why have you sought me? He said, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And, you know, if our 12-year-old son, you know, answered the question this way, kids, I would advise you not to answer your mom or dad this way. If you said, where were you? We've sought you sorrowing. And you say, well, how is it that you sought me? You're probably going to get whopped upside the head. So I would not suggest you answering, and maybe it seems impertinent to you that Jesus Christ would answer it this way. But remember now, Jesus Christ is the Ancient of Days, as well as a 12-year-old son, right? And she says, why have you treated us this way? We have sought thee sorrowing. We've been crying and sleepless for 3 days and three nights. And his answer was, 3 days and three nights? How is it that you sought me then? Didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business? Now, maybe that seems kind of sassy to you, and I'm not, you know, trying to read anything into it. But again, Jesus Christ is the Ancient of Days, and kids, you're going to get whopped upside the head if you answer me that way. But, right? So I want you to think about that for just a minute. And I want to present to you the idea that finding Him may just depend more on how you look than where you look. Now, you know how Jesus Christ sought sinners. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And Jesus Christ did His seeking of sinners where? On Calvary. Lord Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sins and mine. And if He be lifted up, He'll draw all men unto Himself. Correct? That's how Jesus Christ sought you and me. And I understand, I do believe that by His conviction, by providence, and by circumstances that He arranges, I believe that Jesus Christ does come after the one sheep that strays. I believe that. I believe when I was lost, the Lord Jesus Christ came after me. But you do understand that His seeking was done, though, at Calvary, right? And the Holy Spirit now works in sinners' hearts and so on. And the reason I say that is because there's something we need to be a little bit careful to guard against. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. The Bible says, seek the Lord and His face, or the Lord and His strength, seek His face evermore. Now that's to a lost person, but I got news for you. That's also to a saved person. And there's a thought for you here. I know the Lord Jesus Christ left the 99 sheep to go hunt for the one, and I believe that He still does, but I will say this. It is not wise for the one to stray away and just expect Jesus Christ to leave the 99 and come tottering after Him. And you understand? That would be a very impetuous thing to do, is just to presume to wander knowing that Jesus Christ is going to come looking. Because there's a balance to this. For instance, you do realize that the prodigal son's father, type of God the Father, did not go looking for him. You ever think about that before? Do you ever think about the fact that the Lord said about the 10 northern tribes of Israel, He said, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. And yet another place, the Lord God said that the Bible says in Romans 1 that the Lord gave them up to various things in various sequences. It says in yet another place that Paul delivered a certain fellow to Satan for the destruction, not of the soul, but of the flesh. My point in saying all this is that, look, Jesus Christ came and sought us at Calvary, died for our sins, was buried, rose again the third day from the dead, right? Now, folks, that was His seeking. Jesus Christ fulfilled His obligations at that point, and I do believe that Jesus Christ often leaves the 99 to go seek for the one. And, folks, I know that that's true, but you would be a fool to presume that. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. It is your job to seek God. He died for you at Calvary, rose from the dead, and the Holy Spirit is real, and His providence in our lives is real, but it's your job to seek God. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. It's your job to seek the Lord in His strength, to seek His face evermore. You say, well, why are you bringing this up, Brother Stevens? Well, because it is our continual employment to be seeking God's face. It's our continual employment to be seeking Jesus Christ. And I got thinking about this because, you know, here in this passage, Jesus Christ says to His mom, down in verse 49, how is it that you sought me? She said, we've been crying. We've been sleepless. We've been worried. And He says, how is it that you sought me? How did you do that? Do you ever think about the fact there may be a day at the judgment seat of Christ where all saved people show up? And there are people there that say, Lord, man, we went to church, we sought You and sought You and sought You, and it just seemed like, you know, we never developed the kind of relationship with You the way that we wanted. We sought You and sought You, man, we worked hard at it, so on and so forth. And maybe the question that will be asked then is, how is it that You sought me? Think about the ramifications for that just a little bit. And Jesus Christ's parents lost Him for a few days. I'm not talking about you losing your salvation. That's plain. I'm talking about losing fellowship. And folks, there's a lot of Christians that have lost fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They lost track of where Jesus Christ is. I want to talk to you this morning about the fact that they found Him. And before we do anything else, I need to cover something real quickly. I need to talk, first of all, about how they lost Him. And this will be real quick before we get to the main points. But would you just take note here real quick? Down in verse 41, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. I want you to see that one of the ways they lost Him in the habits and customs of their lives. Now, they went up to that Passover every year, every single year. They went through it every year. And folks, every year that they went up, as ordered, in the Word of God, trying to live and fulfill the Word of God, you realize that each year that they did that, the Passover Lamb, capital P, capital L, Passover Lamb was in their company. The fulfillment, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, was in their company. Each of those 12 years prior to this, that they went up to Jerusalem to the Passover feast. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, somewhere along the way, these people lost their Messiah. They lost the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, even in the midst of all their customs and of their habits. And those were good habits, and they were good customs. Folks, there are people that have lost Jesus Christ in the midst of serving Jesus Christ. You got to be careful about that. Now, there's another thing to be said here. You know how else they lost Him? I told you it'd be quick. In verse 43, it says, when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind at Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing Him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought Him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. Well, I want to say that they lost Him in their activity. Now, they were busy. They had a whole company that went down there, and you know how a trip goes. Mike and Karen know how a trip goes. And you're packing, and you're moving, and you're feeding, and you're changing diapers. Well, they're not, but they probably did. And whatever. And, you know, all the stuff is going on, and, you know, it's just easy to overlook something in daily activity and so on. And I wanted you to know something. You can lose Jesus Christ in the midst of a bunch of activity. Right? It's been extraordinarily busy around here, and I was really concerned that our revival meetings, you know, would be hurt by how much everybody had on their minds. As it turns out, I really don't believe they were. But you could see how easy it would be to be so. They lost him not only in the customs and habits of life, they lost him in the activities. Notice something else. Look in verse 44. They supposing him to have been in the company. They lost him in their suppositions. They just supposed him to be there. They assumed. They presumed. There are people that think that Jesus Christ is with them because they were baptized and been to church three times a week for forever. Forever. I was a Baptist my entire life. And I lost Jesus Christ along the way for a while. I'm not talking about I lost my salvation. But I lost Jesus Christ along the way for a while. People lose Him in their suppositions. And lastly, I'll say they lost Him a while before they were aware of it. Down in verse 44, they had lost Him already and weren't even aware that they had lost Him. I recall, you know, Samson's given up his hair to Delilah. And the Philistines come upon him, and he gets up and he says, I'll go out and shake myself as in times of the past. He didn't know the Lord had departed from him. And there's a lot of that going on, folks. You know the universal testimony of backslidden Christians? Their universal testimony is, well, before I knew it, I da-da-da-da-da-da. Right? Now, with that in mind, I want to preach to you on And They Found Him. And his mom had gone to him, and she said, "Son, it's been 3 days. We have cried. We have not slept. We have worried. We have fretted. We have panicked. Why have you done this to us?" And he says, in verse 49, "How is it that you sought me? Didn't you know that I'd be about my Father's business?" And with that, I'd like to point out to you how they found him. And I want to point out to you that they found him with difficulty. Now, they looked for 3 days. They had been sleepless probably for 3 days. They had probably been absolutely tireless and probably had thought of absolutely nothing at all else. Was it 72 hours, right? Well, you know, that's a long time to be worried, sleepless, foodless, and that's a long time. They said, "We sought thee sorrowing. Why have you done this to us?" You know, it's a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that you can lose in one day, 1 hour, perhaps even 1 minute, what it'll take at least 3 days to recover. And a lot of folks have learned that you can lose in 1 hour, or 1/2 hour, or 1/4 hour, what it's taken an entire lifetime at times to build. You know, our government is fairly famous now for requiring our men in Vietnam to go and take hills. Sometimes at the cost of 200-300 men who shed their blood to take that hill, and then our government sends orders back down the line to give the hill back to the Viet Cong. Now, folks, that's pretty hard to take. But you know how they found the Lord Jesus Christ? They found Him with difficulty. Mary comes in there and sees her son for the first time in several days, and she falls at his feet crying, somewhere between crying and mad, somewhere between ready to hug him and ready to kill him, I suppose. And she says, "It's been 3 days. How could you do this to us? We have sought thee sorrowing," right? And she said, "We have worked hard. We've sincerely sought thee. We have done all that we possibly could." And Jesus Christ's reply was one of those questions that He asked that in the Bible never got answered. He said, "How is it that you've sought me?" Nobody answered the question. How is it that you sought me? Nobody answered the question. There's lots of questions like that that Jesus Christ asks in the Bible. You say, "Well, what's the point, Brother Stevens?" Well, it took them 3 days to find Him. And you know why? And it was hard. It was difficult to find Him. But do you know why it was difficult? It was difficult to find Him because their affections and thoughts were not like His. It turns out that mom and dad, mom and stepdad, didn't know Him like they could have or like they should have. I mean, they'd looked for 3 days. They'd been to the zoo. They'd been to the food fair. They had been to the mall. They had been to Toys R Us. They had gone to the government building. They had been to the police department. They had talked to detectives. They had gone to a print shop and photocopied, you know, a bunch of flyers and put them up on telephone posts. I mean, for 3 days, you know, these people had scrambled everywhere in the world, and it wasn't until after 3 days that somebody said, snap, I know where he is. He's always been interested in spiritual things. He's going to wind up at the temple. He's going to be at the temple. It took them 3 days to get there. Now, what I wanted to point out to you ladies and gentlemen, is I have learned that sometimes, first of all, it applies to salvation. Some people have a long road to getting saved because it's sometimes a long road for somebody to get their heart in the right place. I've also learned that a lot of times it's a long road for a Christian to get his heart back right where he can get back in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And he'll come in and say, he'll testify and say, it was hard. Now, I just want to say this. Jesus Christ didn't make it hard. You made it hard. You made it hard because the longer you go without fellowship with Jesus Christ, the more diverted your mind becomes. The less you think, the more time you spend away from the Bible and away from prayer and away from fellowship with the saints and away from church and preaching, the more likely it is that your mind will be divided, diverted. You won't think like him. If you're not careful, your own heart's lusts and desires will run away with you. And because you're thinking like not thinking like him, you can say, I'm looking for him. I'm looking for him with all my heart. But you're not looking in the right place because your mind and heart is so far from him. I mean, folks, his parents, you know, he's 12 years old. His parents surely sat down on a rock at some point in those 2 or 3 days and said, now, where would he be? Where would he be? Where would he be? I don't know. Maybe Toys R Us, you know. Maybe the mall, Sportsman's Warehouse. Got to be somewhere. A carpenter shop. They went and looked at carpenter shop. They went and looked at carpenter supply houses all over the place. And they never found him until somebody said, I know where he is. He's at the temple. Well, if they'd known him, that would have been their first guess. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know, one of the important things is, you know, it comes time to restore your fellowship with Jesus Christ after you've been away for a while. You've got to get your heart back where Jesus Christ is. Because other than that, it's going to be difficult. They found him with difficulty because their hearts and minds were diverted from his. They didn't think like he thought. They didn't love what he loved. They were faithful, religious people that went on this Passover trip every year. And still, having just left there, when it came to, we lost our kid, they knew he was something special. It was a miraculous birth. They knew that, right? Presumably, they knew he was the Messiah. But it took them 3 days to figure out, he'll be at the temple. It was difficult, but he didn't make it hard. There's something else I'd like you to see, but they found him with difficulty. Now, the second thing is, look down to verse 49. This seems rather obvious in the passage. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? They found him with difficulty, but I want you to know they found him about his Father's business. I'd reemphasize to you that it was they that lost him. He did not lose them. It was their responsibility. It was their initiative to seek him. He did not go seeking them. He was at the temple attending to his Father's business, and it was their job to find him. Now, I'm not going to get real hardcore about this because I do know and well appreciate the story of the 99 sheep the Lord left to go search for the one. But listen, if you're a Christian, if you strayed from him, you ought to at least have the decency to try to find your way back. It's your responsibility. I don't doubt for a minute he meets you halfway. I don't doubt for a minute that you pray and He hears, and that He will labor to come, but it's still your responsibility to find your way back. Now, they found him about his father's business. And notice he said, I must be about my father's business. It was a matter of priority. He didn't say, well, you know, Mama, I should have come and found y'all and then came back to attend to my father's business. No, the father's business was the priority. Now look, if any of my kids wander away and don't tell me where they were going, I'm going to kill them. But then they're not the Messiah, right? They're not the Ancient of Days. They're not the treasure house of all wisdom and knowledge, right? They're just mortal kids that deserve to be smacked. It's a joke, okay? Just laugh. But Jesus Christ was something different. And He didn't go tell His parents because that was not the first priority. They should have figured out where He was, it says. Now, it says there that they found Him about His Father's business. So, what's the Father's business? Well, it's plainly business at the temple. It's plainly business there amongst the doctors and so on, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But I want you to see that the Father's business, they found Him down in verse 46, they found Him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors. He's sitting there amongst the midst of the doctors, the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees, lost people. If you had taken a snapshot of Him later in His ministry, He was always dealing with blind people, lepers, people that needed help, people that were dead, He raised from the dead. Folks, the Father's business is people. The Father's business is people. Now, we're talking about losing Jesus Christ this morning. I'm talking about fellowship. I'm talking mainly to Christians. I don't even know if there's anybody here that's not even saved today. So I'm presuming some things. I'm talking mainly about fellowship. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was about His Father's business. If you don't grow in the Lord and maintain your fellowship with Jesus Christ, the Father's business will outgrow you. It'll go past you. And one day you'll be standing out in the middle of the road somewhere going, where is everybody? And you may have a long search ahead because you may find that you're not anywhere near as close and in fellowship with Jesus Christ as you once were, feel maybe even kind of deserted by Him because you didn't grow as a Christian when you should have. And, you weren't with the Christ who was about His Father's business. Jesus Christ will walk past you taking care of business elsewhere. Now look, what is the Father's business? The Father's business is people. And it's something that you ought to well consider, because I can tell you this. There's an awful lot of Christians that I know, and they're not walking with the Lord Jesus Christ anymore, and they're just kind of lost and vagabond, and I don't know where their lives are headed. I do know this. Somewhere along the way, they got kind of ticked off at a bunch of people that God was dealing with. See, God's business is His people. And one really good way to break fellowship with Jesus Christ and to lose track of Him is when you break fellowship with His people and quit dealing with people. Because that is the Father's business. Are you a Christian? Most of you, yes, you are. Well, if you're about your Father's business, then you're about the business that Jesus Christ was about, because you're His son too. Jesus Christ's business was people. And I have seen a lot of Christians go off on their own, half mad, half bitter, or more than half mad and bitter, at other people, other Christians, for one thing or another. And in doing so, they cut themselves off from very intimate or very close fellowship with Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is dealing with some of those people that made you mad. And if you won't get near some of those people that made you mad, people that He's dealing with, He may not have much to say to you because you're staying away from the family business. Does that make sense? Jesus Christ was found about his father's business. More and more, Christians are kind of going off by themselves, kind of free agents, kind of doing their own thing. I got news for you. That's not right. You say, well, what about somebody that's stranded on a desert isle? Well, you're not stranded on a desert isle. And I know full well, I know some people tell me that there's fine fellowship with God in a bass boat, and I'm happy for it. If you have wonderful fellowship on a deer stand with God, I hope you do. But the day that you quit dealing with people is the day that you've separated yourself from the Father's business. I tell you, Jesus Christ is dealing with people. And if you're not dealing with people, then you're not near Christ, because that's who He's dealing with. Does that make sense? There's something else I'd like you to take note of. Go back up to verse 40. First of all, they found him with difficulty, but he didn't make it hard. Joseph and Mary made it hard on themselves. He was about his father's business. And somewhere along the way, they were looking in museums and zoos and art museums and Toys R Us, because they probably thought like we thought. Oh, he's probably looking at the zebras. Or he's probably, he's probably interested in sculpture or something like that. He wasn't interested in sculpture. He wasn't interested in toys. He was interested in his father's business, and his father's business was people. And then it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 40, the child grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. You know that he wound up in the temple there. I want to say that they found him nigh unto holy things. He's in Jerusalem. They're there for the Passover. And when they did find him, they found him in the place where there was the holy temple, the holy of holies, that veil that was one day, not too many years after this, rent in twain. There was the candlestick. There was a showbread. There were all the holy things of God. There were scriptures there. They found Jesus Christ nigh unto holy things. And he said, how is it that you sought me? Why did you think I was going to be at the mall? I mean, how did you seek me? And again, this is a little impertinent coming from a 12-year-old, but like I said, he was Jesus Christ. He says, you cried for 3 days and all that, but I'm sorry, but how is it that you sought me? Where did you think I was going to be? Toys be we? You should have known that that's not where I was going to be. I must be about my father's business. And his father's business was conducted in a place that was around holy things. Ladies and gentlemen, I wonder one day, the judgment seat of Christ, some folks show up there, again, Christians, and because the judgment seat of Christ is for Christians. And they show up there at the judgment seat of Christ, and they say, man, Lord, we sought Thee. Man, we sought God's face and just never... So where'd you seek me? Well, we went to Copper Top down here, and, man, they had these big worship teams and everything, and it was all exciting and fog and all this stuff and lights and the fireworks show after every service and rock concerts and stuff. And, man, I went and got 2 masters and a doctorate, just trying to get to go to know God better. And besides that, at one time I took a trip to the Himalayas and sat cross-legged in a wise man's hut and smoked a little funny stuff and meditated and stuff. And, I just never felt like I found you. And maybe Jesus Christ's answer will be, well, you were sure looking under the wrong rock. Because he doesn't hang around those. Well, Lord, I went to one of those wild churches for a while. Then I went to one of those really ritualistic churches with all the symbolic stuff and, the big symbolic stuff, all those ceremonial things and all. And, I just still never felt like I got that close to you. So, well, I don't hang around those places. The fact of the matter is, when they went to Toys R Us and when they went to the government building, they weren't going to find him there because that's not where he was. They found him nigh unto holy things. Now look, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be real brief with this. We live in a dirty world. I said that on Friday at the wedding. We live in a dirty, filthy world. The fact is that even today, most Christians do have no appreciation for holiness. The Holy Scriptures now are doubted and changed and gainsaid anytime somebody doesn't like what it says. Anytime. We are not Pharisees here. I labor hard to not be a legalist because I don't believe you can just dress up the outside and that makes everything okay. But I do realize at the same time that the outside also says something about the inside. Okay? And so while it's not wise to judge harshly about minor stuff on the outside, there's an awful lot of times that the outside does reflect the inside, and what's supposed to be going on inside is holy because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the issue becomes that, you know, people sometimes have a hard time. I just don't feel very close to the Lord. But the fact is, you look at their lives and you sit in counsel with them, they don't read their Bibles, they don't pray, they don't try to go to a church where the truth is told, they try to go to a church that makes them feel good. They have no real personal character or standards of deportment that come from inside first and make their way to the outside so that somebody at least has a clue that what they're looking at when they look at the outside is a Christian. Right? Look, we all understand that sometimes a young Christian takes some time to get there. We expect that because you want the inside to change before the outside changes. All those things I acknowledge, ladies and gentlemen, but at the same time, people in our day have almost no appreciation for holiness. The average megachurch today has no appreciation for holiness in spite of the fact that some of the rock musicians on the stage sing a couple of songs about holiness. Singing a song does not mean the same thing as loving it and appreciating it. And Jesus Christ, they found Him nigh unto holy things, the Scriptures. We don't have holy places here. I understand that. There is no holy of holies other than the fact that it's inside you. I know there's not a veil and there's no place for showbread, those sort of things. But you have the Holy Scriptures and you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ is found near holy things. So if you want to find Jesus Christ, you're going to have an appreciation for holiness. That's where He's found. Look down in verse 46 and notice the next thing. There's only seven or eight more. Verse 46. Oh, that was funny. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found Him. Oh, good. That's our text. They found Him. They found Him where? In the temple, in a holy place, right? Sitting in the midst of the doctors. I want you to look at that for a second. Sitting in the midst. They found Him. They found Him in the midst. He's sitting in the midst of the doctors. And the doctors are looking around like a bunch of calves at a new gate because He's asking them questions they don't have answers for. And they're talking to Him, and He has answers for stuff that, where did this kid get this stuff? And I want you to see, though, that He was there in the midst of them. Now, I thought about this because these days, Christians tend to think that God is all about not having controversy, not having any kind of conflict or whatever. But I dare say to you that, Jesus Christ could have been a lot of places. It didn't say that He was in the pews listening to what the rabbis said. He was in the middle of the doctors, and they were surrounding Him like a bunch of hens, cackling at Him, and He had more answers than they had questions, and had more questions than they had answers. I want to say something to you, and I've found this to be true, and you can tell me if I'm nuts. They found Him in the center of controversy. Those rabbis had been schooled for years and years in tradition and so on and so forth, and He started asking them about their traditions and had answers and examples from the Scriptures that they knew nothing about any longer. And these were the scribes. These were the doctors. It didn't take them very long to figure out that the master in the room was the 12-year-old. And, you know, you get thinking, these days, now somebody stands up, some redneck like me stands up and says something controversial, and they call him divisive or, you know, whatever, unloving and hateful and skeptical and critical and all those sort of things. I want to put something to you, though. You know, you think about this. Where is Jesus Christ today? What does somebody have to do to come get near Jesus Christ? Well, I don't know if you've thought about it, but this world has swallowed the big old horse pill of evolution. Most people in that world will accept the fact, or accept the fable, that we come from, you know, we come from bugs or whatever. Now, you know the thing about that is? The thing about that is there's this big controversy raging and all that, and the world's bought it. The world's sold on it. And so Christians' response is what? Well, Christians don't want controversy because they're trying to build bridges back to the world. And, you know, we're so caring, and so on and so forth. And what they don't realize is that the center of the whole thing is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In fact, Jesus Christ was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Listen, folks, you want to find Jesus Christ? You go find the center of a controversy that matters. Now, not every fight matters, but when it comes to evolution and creation, I'll tell you where to go find Jesus Christ. Genesis 1:1. You know, we had a president here a couple of years back, and probably a lot more besides that, that had himself a little bit of a testimony problem in the Oval Office. And we learned that our fellow Americans didn't have much indignation about that little matter at all, did they? Now, you know the thing about it is, there's a lot of Christians that kind of kept their mouths shut. The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, you know what? There's a bunch of Christians that think that that kind of thing should not be confronted in personal lives or in church or anywhere else. You want to lose Jesus Christ? You lose your moral compass. If you want to find Jesus Christ, you go to battle for Him on some issues that'll take you into the middle of a controversy that matters, and you'll find fellowship with Jesus Christ. They found Him in the midst of controversy. We are in a culture war in America. We've said for years we're in a culture war. Well, you've seen the culture war pick up now because we now have a Muslim invasion. We now have an alien invasion. And that's not, the alien invasion itself wouldn't be the end of the world except for the fact that it's undermining the very foundations of our country, which were based upon scriptural precepts. You say, yeah, what's the hub of all that? The hub of all that is the wicked shall be cast into hell and all the nations that forget God. We've not just forgotten God, we've kicked Him out. And if you want to know where Jesus Christ is, if you want to go find Him, go fight a battle and realize that the issue in America is not patriotism. The issue in America is not any longer the flag. Being an American is not equal being a Christian. Your country is now a pagan country. It's now a heathen country. So go out and fight a battle for the Lord, not a battle that used to be more important. The issue right now is not communism versus capitalism, like it was in the 50s. It's not Russia versus the U.S., like it was in the 60s. It is now God versus the world. Your country is the world. What you need to do is you go out and you find Jesus Christ. You find your fellow countrymen dying and going to hell. They're dying and going to hell by the millions. That's your controversy. Go, if you want to know where Jesus Christ is, He is in the midst of controversies that matter. The Sodomite invasion. The healthcare controversy. Oh, I'm not going to fight about that. Oh, why not? Do you not have a great physician? I know people out there in the world, what they need is a great physician rather than another pill or another shot. There's a couple other things here. Look in verse 47. Look in verse 47. And beginning in verse 46, they found Him, of course, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. They were astonished at His understanding and answers. Well, they found Him with difficulty, not because He made it difficult, because they did. They found Him about His Father's business, and His Father's business was people. They found him nigh unto holy things. They found him in the midst of controversy. And they found him confounding the wise. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "It is written," this is God speaking, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." He says later in verse 27, "God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise." You know where you can find Jesus Christ? You know, nobody in the setting that saw that scene had any doubts that it was the doctors who had no answers and it was the kid that had the answers. Right? Everybody sitting there knew that. He always astonished people with his answers. And what you learn from this is, you know where they found Jesus Christ? They found Jesus Christ confounding the wise. Those lost doctors, those Jewish rabbis, they didn't know what was going on. It was the kid that knew what was going on. You know, I went to college for 5 years before PBI. And I was schooled in the hard sciences. And I found out a bunch of those people had no clue what they were talking about. I'm really serious. I am genuinely serious. You know, I've read now for 25 years a doctrinal and biblical material that's come out of seminaries and Bible schools. And there's just an awful lot of nonsense in all that stuff, to be honest with you. You say, what are you saying? I tell you, what you're going to find, you'll find Jesus Christ does not use the wisdom of this world very much. And where this world goes and seeks educated experts in sciences that don't matter, where this world starts appealing, where Christianity starts appealing to psychiatrists and psychologists and evolutionists and experts in this and experts in that that are contrary to what the Bible plainly says, folks, it doesn't matter whether they have 3 doctoral degrees or not. They're still wrong. A smart guy can still be wrong. They found Jesus Christ confounding the wise. I tell you, the Bible says the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. You'll find fellowship with Jesus Christ in a place where you reject the wisdom of the world. The experts in this world. The guys that are busy correcting your Bible and laying out a bunch of fable nonsense for Bible truth. Go back to your Bible, go back to prayer, and go back to church where they're teaching the Bible. You'll find Jesus Christ. One last thing. I want you to see that they found him operating on higher ideals. You know, they were worried about finding their kid. And who wouldn't be, right? It didn't say that it would necessarily be easy for you to switch gears. But they found him operating on higher ideals. You know, you say, well, he should have told his mom and dad he was going. I can't argue with that. Other than the fact that he had his own priorities. This is Messiah. This is the Ancient of Days. He was about his Father's business. Listen, these days we're not even worried about finding our kids like these people were. We're worried about our taxes going up. We're worried about Obama. We're worried about this and worried about that. And, you know, oh, what's going to happen? We're busy fretting in the materialism which enters in and chokes the Word. Jesus Christ was occupied with much higher, much nobler things than that. That's where you'll find Jesus Christ. You're not going to find Jesus Christ worrying about your taxes. You're not going to find Jesus Christ if you are preoccupied with yourself. Because believe it or not, the world doesn't revolve around you. It revolves around Him. There are people in this room whose health is bad. I'm not picking on you at all. Because most of us are going to face a day when our health is bad. Just so you know, when your health goes bad, the world still doesn't revolve around you. Okay? The answer is still Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is occupied in other things besides your health, your kids, your job disenchantments. There's higher things than that. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. You'll find Jesus Christ if you'll be occupied with higher, nobler things. Because that's what He's occupied with. and He'll answer prayer and He'll take care of you. He'll give us our daily bread, right? Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But you have to be careful because we all are self-centric and we really want the world to revolve around us. It never has, and it never will. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Now, Father, we're speaking here this morning about fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and ask You that You will help us see and understand these things. Father, help us be willing to look inside a little deeper. And may everyone here be willing to assess whether they have lost Jesus Christ somewhere along the way. It may be only in measure and not quite like Jesus' stepfather and mother lost Him in those days. But Lord, may we assess ourselves objectively, and may You help us to consider some of these things we've spoken about this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and open our hymn books to number 204. 204. Here has to assess for themselves the state of your fellowship with Jesus Christ. Nobody would ever imply you could lose your salvation after you've won it, because you can't. But boy, can you ever lose your fellowship. And I'll ask you to assess where Jesus Christ is with you. Maybe you ought to consider some of these things here today. Father, we pray here a few minutes You'll dismiss us with Your blessing. And it's been an extremely busy time, Lord. It's been extremely rewarding as well in many cases. We pray that we'd not lose You in the midst of all our comings and goings and doings. Pray it not make fellowship with Thee more difficult. Not that You have, but that we might. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 204, a third stanza, will be dismissed.
And guys, remember to sign up back there for the Father-Son. And we'll see you tonight at 6. Dismissed.